ஓம் நமோ பகவதே சிவாய. ப்ரேயர்ஸ் அண்ட் மெடிடேஷன் தி மதர்ஸ் செப்டம்பர் 28, 1900. மை பெயின் இஸ் மியூட் டு சாண்ட் தாய் பிரசன்ஸ் ஓ லார்ட். Yet art thou like a king who has taken into possession of his kingdom. Thou art there, organizing, putting all in place, developing and increasing every province. Thou organizest those that were asleep. Thou makest active those that were sinking towards inertia. Thou art building a harmony out of the whole. A day will come when the harmony shall be achieved and all the country shall be by its very life the bearer of thy word and thy manifestation. But meanwhile, my pen is mute to chant thy praise. Om Tat Sat. ध्यान प्रार्थना माँ सेप्टेम्बर 28, 1914। हे भगवान, तो सानिध्यर स्तुति गान करिबा को जाई लेखनी मोर मुख, किंतु तू जेपरि जने राजा, तो राज्यर समस्त अधिकार तो ग्रहण करछु। वर्तमान तू प्रत्येक प्रदेश को संगठित श्रेणीबद्ध विकसित ओ वर्धित करुछु। घुमंत को जाग्रत करुछु, ଯେଉଁ ମାନେ ଜଡ଼ତା ମଧ୍ୟରେ ଡୁବି ଯାଉଥିଲେ ସେମାନଙ୍କୁ ସକ୍ରିୟ କରୁଛୁ, ସମସ୍ତଙ୍କୁ ସୁସଙ୍ଗତ କରୁଛୁ। ଦିନ ଆସିବ ଯେତେବେଳେ ଏହି ସୁସଙ୍ଗତି ପୂର୍ଣ୍ଣ ସିଦ୍ଧ ହେବ ଏବଂ ସେତେବେଳେ ସମଗ୍ର ସାମ୍ରାଜ୍ୟଟି ତାହାର ନିଜସ୍ୱ ଜୀବନଧାରା ଭିତରେ ଦେଇ ତୋର ବାଣୀ ଓ ଅଭିବ୍ୟକ୍ତର ମୁଖପାତ୍ର ହେବ। କିନ୍ତୁ ଇତିମଧ୍ୟରେ ତୋର ସ୍ତୁତି ଗାନ କରିବାକୁ ଯାଇ ହେ ଭଗବାନ, ଲେଖନି ମୋର ମୁଖ। ଓମ୍
ଓମ୍ ନମୋ ଭଗବତେ। ଟୁଡେଜ୍ ଷ୍ଟଡି ସର୍କଲ୍ ଆଇ ବିଗିନ୍ ୱିଥ୍ ଦିସ୍ ଦି ମଦର୍ସ ମେସେଜ୍। ସିନ୍ସ ମାଇ ଆର୍ଲିଏଷ୍ଟ ଚାଇଲ୍ଡହୁଡ୍ ଏକ୍ସପିରିଏନ୍ସ ହେଭ୍ କମ୍ ଲାଇକ୍ ଦ୍ୟାଟ୍ ସମଥିଙ୍ଗ ମାସିଭ୍ ଟେକ୍ସ ହୋଲ୍ଡ ଅଫ୍ ୟୁ ଆଣ୍ଡ ୟୁ ଡୋଣ୍ଟ ନିଡ୍ ଟୁ ବିଲିଭ ଅର୍ ଡିସ୍ବିଲିଭ୍। No or not no, bam. There is nothing to say. You are facing a fact. Once during those last difficult years, Sri Aurobindo told me that this was precisely what gave me my advantage and why, how to put it, there were greater possibility that I would go right to the end. Your mother is recounting her childhood experience. So in the Since my earliest childhood experience have come like that, something massive takes hold of you. That means from her childhood, she was going through massive spiritual experience. And you need not believe to disbelieve, no or not no. So it has nothing to do with believe it or not believe it. It is coming one by one in torrents. There are nothing to say, you are facing a fact. So since her childhood, mother had massive spiritual experiences, and that is one by one. And she has no means to verify or believe or disbelieve. There was no need of believing or disbelieving them. And once during those last difficult years, Sri Aurobindo told me, so Sri Aurobindo told mother, that this was precisely what gave me my advantage and why, how to put it, there were greater possibilities that I would go right to the end. So Sri Aurobindo told the mother that due to this reason that without doing anything, mother's life was filled with one by one spiritual, massive spiritual experience. So that is why Sri Aurobindo felt that the mother could go till the end of this jogo, end of this integral jogo. That possibility is there. So truckloads of spiritual experiences were dumping over her head since the childhood, from her childhood. So now we'll discuss what is the task of the, we'll concentrate what is the task of a spiritual man indicated in the Bhagavad Gita and Integral Yoga. Then we'll discuss the seeker's question. So here in the Bhagavad Gita 17.24, therefore with the pronouncement of Om, the acts of sacrifice, giving, and ascesis, as laid down in the rules, are always commenced by the knower of the Brahman. So those who know Brahman, they are identified as spiritual men. So a spiritual, the Bhagavad Gita defines that a spiritual man will do always these four things. First one is he will remember the divine ceaselessly. That is first one. Secondly, his sacrificial action will be ceaseless. And fourthly, his act of giving. So he will ceaselessly will give his divine attributes of love, ananda, knowledge, light and force to earth and man. Ceaselessly he will give. And fourthly, ascesis, he will do tapasya. He will practice rigorous self-control ceaselessly. So the Bhagavad Gita has issued injunction on spiritual men that they will do these four things. One, to remember the divine ceaselessly, to do sacrificial action ceaselessly, and to give to this world all the divine attributes to the world ceaselessly, constantly, and they will do tapasya or rigorous self-control ceaselessly. So now we'll come how these four things are foreseen in integral yoga, how we deal with integral yoga. Here the mother speaks. I began my sadhana. I began my sadhana at birth without knowing that I was doing it. I have continued it throughout my whole life, which means for almost 8 years. Even through for perhaps the first 3 or 4 years of my life, it was only something staring about in unconsciousness. But I began a deliberate conscious sadhana एट द एज ऑफ 22 और 23 अपॉन ए प्रिपेयर्ड ग्राउंड. आई एम नाउ मोर देन 80 ईयर्स ओल्ड. आई हैव थॉट ऑफ नथिंग बट दैट. इट मीन्स डिवाइन मदर इज गिविंग ए डिक्लरेशन दैट शी हैज थॉट नथिंग बट ओनली द डिवाइन. आई वॉन्टेड नथिंग बट दैट. आई हैड नो अदर इंटरेस्ट इन लाइफ एंड नॉट फॉर ए सिंगल मिनिट हैव आई एवर फॉरगॉटन दैट इट वॉज दैट वाट आई वॉन्टेड. सो मदर इज गिविन योर डिक्लरेशन दैट थ्रू आउट आवर लाइफ ही हैज नेवर फॉरगॉटन द डिवाइन फॉर ए मोमेंट ऑल्सो. देर वेर नॉट पीरियड्स ऑफ रिमेंबरिंग एंड फॉरगेटिंग. सो दैट इज इन लाइफ इन आवर ऑर्डिनरी लाइफ दैट वी फील दैट वी रिमेंबर डिवाइन एंड देन वी फॉरगेट देन वी रिमेंबर. बट दैट वॉज नॉट द केस इन द मदर्स केस. देर वेर नॉट पीरियड्स ऑफ रिमेंबरिंग एंड फॉरगेटिंग. इट वॉज कंटिन्यूअस अनसीजिंग डे एंड नाइट फ्रॉम एज ऑफ 24. आई हैड दिस एक्सपीरियंस फॉर द फर्स्ट टाइम अबाउट अ वीक अगो. सो आई सेड दैट पीपुल हु आर इन हरी पीपुल हु आर इम्पेशेंट आर एरोगेंट फूल्स. So this integral jogo is a long, long jogo. Your all life is jogo. So the mother speaks that from the beginning of her life, she had never forgotten divine, and it was continuously she was remembering. Her remembrance was continuous of the divine. And there is no need to become hurry because this is a long path we have to unfold. Then mother speaks that is the japa I do now. I do it all the time. While sleeping, while waking, while eating, while working, all the time. So this mother has given declaration that her japa is ceaseless. Then in the Gita it is 8.14, it is there. He who continually remembers me, thinking of none else, the yogi, O Partha, who is in constant union with me, finds me easy to attain. So those who remember the divine all the time, for them, divine is easily accessible. So this is the message from the mother. Well, this movement, gesture of rising flame towards that must be constant, constant, total. All the rest is none of our business. So the soul rising to unite with the divine, that should be our constant business. And the less we meddle with it mentally, the better. But that, the flame, is indispensable, and when it goes out, light it again. When it falters, rekindle it all the time, all the time, all the time. When sleeping, walking, reading, moving around, speaking, all the time, that is the japa I do now. I do it all the time while sleeping, while walking, while eating, while working, all the time. Then mother further proposes, there is nothing other than he. This should be repeated from morning to night, from night to morning, because we forget it every minute. So in integral yoga, one is to remember the divine all the time. That is possible if we live in the waking trance, then the japa will be continuous. If we live with our purified intellect, then we'll when the sattvic mind is active, then we'll do japa. When the gunas change, the japa will stop. But if we'll be established in waking trance, then the japa will be continuous. And during sleep also, it will continue in non-waking trance also. So here's Sri Aurobindo's message. Keep yourself open, remember the mother always. Call for her help and guidance in your work. You must get into the condition in which not only the calmness remains always, but the sadhana is going on all the time in work and rest, as well as in meditation. Then another Sri Aurobindo's message. As a rule, the only mantra used in sadhana is that of the mother or my name and the mother's. The concentration in the heart and concentration in the head can both be used. Each has its own result. So here we have to be aware of that in our heart the psychic being is there and in the head the spiritual being is there. So japa must be used both in the heart to awaken the psychic being and in the head to awaken the spiritual being. The first opens up the psychic being and brings bhakti, love and union with the mother, her presence within the heart and the action of her force in the nature. The other opens the mind to self-realization, to the consciousness of what is above mind, to ascent of the consciousness out of the body and the descent of the higher consciousness into body. So this Sri Aurobindo has confirmed that in integral yoga we have to practice japa and that japa must be done in both heart and head. If we practice japa in the heart, then the psychic being will awake and it will awake the bhakti, devotion, love towards the divine. And if the spiritual being, if we do japa in the head, then the spiritual being will be awake and it will take us beyond this world. And then if the spiritual being is dynamite, then we will experience divine force descending to our mind, life, and body. And through japa, both the things are possible, awakening the psychic being and spiritual being. So this is the first task the Gita has given, that we have to remember the divine. The second is jagya, the sacrificial action we have to do all the time, nitya jagya. Nitya japa, then nitya jagya we have to do. So here the mother has given two methods, how we will do sacrifice, how we will offer our every, all action, all thought, and all emotions to the divine. Here the mother speaks. I acquired the feeling that I myself do nothing at all, absolutely nothing. The only thing I do, this gesture of offering upwards, constantly, this in everything, in thoughts, feelings, sensations, in the body's cells, all the time. You, it is you, it is you, it is you, that is all, and nothing else. In other words, a more and more complete, a more and more integral ascent, more and more like this gesture of letting herself be carried, that when you have the feeling that you must be absolutely like a child. So this mother speaks that we have to practice all the time, that offering. We will offer ourselves all our problems or all our day-to-day activities, all our thought, all our emotions to the divine ceaselessly. We have to practice it like a child. If you start thinking, oh, I want to be like this, oh, I want to be like that, you waste your time. So if you have any desire, a slightest desire to be something, that means we are wasting our time only. So if we will practice this consecration, then the divine will take care of all the action, all the thought, and all the emotions. You will take care, divine will take care. Then another message, mother's message. You find yourself facing a so-called problem. So when we have problem, how we will handle it? When I am to say what I am, what am I to do, how should I act? There is nothing to do, nothing but to say to the Lord. So we have to practice this by saying to the Lord, you see, here is this situation, that is all. So literally we have to speak to the divine that this is the problem now and you take care of it. That is all, and then you keep very still, then we'll make our mind passive, mind silent. And spontaneously, without thinking about it, without reflecting, without calculating, without doing anything, whatsoever, without the slightest effort, You do what must be done. Then a force will come and will do what must be done. But it is the Lord who does it. It is no longer you. He does it. He arranges the circumstances. He arranges the people. He puts the words in your mouth or under your pen. He does it all. And you have nothing more to do, nothing but let yourself live in bliss. So how we will practice the surrender, the mother demonstrated that if we will put the responsibility on the divine, then the divine will take care and he will possess everything. He will possess our mouth, possess our writings and possess our action. He will possess everywhere. And he will resolve the problem. This is the second task, so we have to practice this surrender all the time. Sarva dharman paritejya. Mamekam saranam braja aham tvam sarva papebhyo mokkhayiṣyami ma śuca. So sarva dharman, we have to renounce all the fixed laws of tamasic mind, rajasic mind and sattvic mind. And take refuge in divine psychic law, spiritual law, and supramental. And this we have to practice all that time, ceaselessly. Then the third task is dana, giving, act of giving. So, this act of giving also we have to do, the spiritual man has to do ceaselessly. This is what Sri Aurobindo wrote in the essays on the Gita. All the action of the perfected soul will be even such a constant divine giving of itself and its powers, an outflowing of knowledge, light, strength, love, joy, helpful Shakti which it possesses in the divine and by his influence and affluence on all around it according to their capacity of reception or on all this world and its creatures. That will be the complete result of the complete self-giving of the soul to the master of our existence. So a spiritual man's task is he will ceaselessly will call down divine love, divine force, divine light, and divine ananda and divine beauty and he will give it to his earth and man, all these attributes. Those who are linked with him, he will give to all of them these attributes. That is called dana, act of giving. So a spiritual man is preoccupied in doing good of all creatures all the time. And that is an inner action by opening himself to the divine and calling down the divine force, he does good of all creatures, for all individuals and all those who are linked with him. He does good. Then tapa, then this. And then this also is to be done ceaselessly, the self-control, tapasya, the ascesis. So here the mother speaks many times in his writings, particularly in the synthesis of yoga. Sri Aurobindo warns us against the imagining that those who believe that they can do sadhana without rigorous self-control and who heed all sorts of inspirations which lead them to dangerous imbalance, where all our repressed, hidden, secret desires come out into open under the pretense of liberation from the ordinary conventions and ordinary ritual. So the synthesis of yoga is a book of rigorous self-control. Sri Aurobindo, that is the Sri Aurobindo sadhana for 40 years, and Sri Aurobindo practiced yoga through rigorous self-control. So those who will do integral yoga, they have to do rigorous self-control. If the intellect is pure, then one can do self-control. And if the psychic and spiritual being will open, then this self-control will become rigorous. Because if psychic and spiritual being will open, there will be no personal effort. It will automatically reject the lower nature, automatically reject the falsehood, ignorance, it will automatically reject. Then here in the synthesis of yoga, it is only by increasing that control, that self-control we have to increase, that he, a sadhaka of integral yoga, can move towards perfection. So if we want perfection, then we have to increase the self-control. And it is only by developing soul power that he can reach it. So he has to increase his soul force, soul power. Through self-control, the soul power increases. Nature power in him has to become more and more completely a conscious act of soul, a conscious expression of the will and knowledge of spirit. Prakriti has to reveal itself as Shakti of the Purusha. So this is the thing that if through self-control our consecration will increase. Through consecration, our union with the divine will be there. Through union, our soul force increases. And if the soul force will increase, then the nature power, it can transform. The soul force has the capacity to transform the nature power. It can transform the lower nature. So these are the four self-disciplines that Gita issued that we have to do ceaselessly all the time. A spiritual man has to do these four practice, these four self-disciplines all the time. He has to remember the divine. He has to consecrate his work, thought, and his emotions to the divine ceaselessly. He has to give, he has to give, he has to learn how to give, how to call down the divine energy and give it to the world and to the individuals. And he has to do tapasya, he has to do self-control, rigorous self-control. Now we'll come how what is. What is the task for integral sadhaka? Here Sri Aurobindo speaks. The spiritual man is one who has discovered his soul. He has found his self and lives in that. He's conscious of it, has the joy of it. He needs nothing external for his completeness of existence. So those who have found the soul gives the completeness. So he needs nothing external for his completeness of existence. The Gnostic being starting from the new basis. So if the soul is open, the soul is awake, if psychic and spiritual being is open, are open, then we are having a new basis of doing work. Basis takes up the ignorant becoming and turns it into luminous becoming. So the tamasic, rajasic and sattvic mind, they are ignorant becoming. And that can be transformed into luminous becoming of knowledge and a realized power of being. So both nature and soul, both will be transformed, both will be uplifted, illumined. This is the task, so he will do all the time this. He will be preoccupied with the difficult work. This is a difficult work of transforming the physical mind, tamasic mind, rajasic mind, vital mind, and sattvic mind, and illumine them. Then another task is there to discover the spiritual being in himself is the main business of a spiritual man, and to help others towards the same evolution is his real service to the rest. This is a task. So if a spiritual man, if spiritual man's real business is to always keep awake the spiritual being, his psychic being, because world influence and the influence of the three gunas, they will always cloud the soul and the soul will be veiled. So he will always maintain through sadhana, he will always keep it awake, these two souls, psychic being and spiritual being. So if that will be awake, then he will help others to for the awakening. That is his business. Help others toward the same evolution. So other psychic being and spiritual being will also open by his influence. And that is his real service to the rest. If you will help others in awakening their psychic and spiritual being, then that is the real service to the rest. He has given real service. So this is the task of the spiritual man. So we all have to remember that we have to do these four things all the time and to, not to renounce them, not to renounce them at all. Now we'll come to the seeker's question. So in the last class we had discussed little about this seeker's question, the question number 5. is what is the relationship between dharma and karma from an integral yoga perspective. This was the question. What is the relationship between dharma and karma from integral yoga perspective? Dharma is your religion. So how integral yoga is linked with religion, Sanatana Dharma and all other religions, how integral yoga is linked. And here karma is of two type, one is bound action and another is liberated action. So this liberated action is called the karma yoga. So how integral yoga is linked with the traditional karma yoga? How integral karma yoga begins with traditional karma yoga, and what are the speciality of integral karma yoga that we have to know? First, we will know how integral yoga is related with religion. Then, secondly, we will know how integral yoga is related with karma yoga, yoga of works. Then, how these two are related, the action and religion, both how they are related. That we will concentrate. So Sri Aurobindo gave importance that those who will pursue integral yoga, they should know the spiritual history of earth. That is very important. Because if we know the history, then we will not repeat the history. Because history means there is a spiritual rise and spiritual fall. So from history we learn the lesson. We learn what are the danger in spiritual life, what are the possibilities in spiritual life. And that will make us aware. So here Sri Aurobindo writes, I regard the spiritual history of mankind and especially of India as a constant development of divine purpose, not a book that is closed, the lines of which have to be constantly repeated. Even the Upanishads and the Gita were not final, though everything may be there in seed. I may say that it is far from my purpose to propagate any religion, new or old, for humanity in future. A way to be opened that is still blocked, not a religion to be founded, is my conception of the matter. So here Sri Aurobindo made clear that there is a seed is there in the Upanishads and Bhagavad Gita and the Vedas. That seed we have to develop. We have to develop that seed. Then another message, Sri Aurobindo, the idea of supermind, the truth consciousness, there is there in the Rig Veda, according to Sri Aurobindo's interpretation, and in one or two passages of the Upanishads. But in the Upanishad, it is there only in seed, in the conception of being, of knowledge, Vijnanamaya Purusha, exceeding the mental, vital, and physical being. In the Rig Veda, the idea is there, but in principle only. It is not developed, and even the principle of it has disappeared from the Hindu tradition. So Sri Aurobindo was destined for the supramental action, and the supermind is hinted in the Veda, in the Bhagavad Gita, and in the Upanishad, but not developed. They are in the seed state. And even its principle of it has disappeared from the Hindu tradition. So in the Hindu tradition, they are doing everything, but they are not aware that we have to awake that Vijnanamaya Purusha, that is, it is above us and within us. We have to awake that Hindu tradition is forgotten. It is these things, among others, that constitute the nobility of Sri Aurobindo's message as compared with the Hindu tradition. The idea that the world is not either a creation of Maya or only a play, Leela or the divine, or a cycle of births in ignorance from which we have to escape, but a field of manifestation in which there is a progressive evolution of soul and the nature in matter. Sri Aurobindo does not accept those things, that this world is a maya or world is a lila of the divine. But he accepts that this world is a field of manifestation in which there is a progressive evolution of soul and nature in matter. And from matter through life and mind to what is beyond mind till it reaches the complete revelation of Satchitananda in life. It is this that is the basis of yoga and gives a new sense of life to life. So we have to establish in this life the spiritual psychic consciousness, spiritual consciousness, and Satchitananda consciousness in life. That is the objective here, complete revelation of Satchitananda in life. So now we'll come to how we are integral yoga is related with Sanatana Dharma, the eternal religion. Integral yoga is identified as the crown of rich Aryan culture of Sanatana Dharma. So integral yoga is identified as the crown of Sanatana Dharma. And an integral yogi emerges as a perfect Arya with triune realization of Brahman, which is a consciousness at once transcendent, universal, and individual. So an integral yogi lives in these three consciousnesses. His individual psychic being is awake, his cosmic consciousness is awake, and his transcendent consciousness, supramental and bliss, they are also awake. Integral yoga recognizes the teachings of Sanatana Dharma as great, while it identifies its own teaching as the best, because it includes and accounts for all, so that each truth of experience takes its place in the whole. That knowledge is likely to be the highest knowledge, which illumines, integralizes, harmonizes the significance of all knowledge, and accounts for, finds the basic, and one might almost say the justifying region of our ignorance and illusion, while it cures them. This is the supreme experience which gathers together all experience in truth of a supreme and all-reconciling oneness. So integral yoga does not renounce action, does not renounce life, problem of life, then does not renounce the universal action, and does not preach to escape into Paramdham. Integral yoga does not preach. So its teaching is best because it takes account of all the parts of the existence. So in integral yoga, it has divided this life into 10 selves and 10, this existence into 10 selves and 10 seeds, 10 kosas. So the development up in all the 10 selves and 10 kosas brings the integration, so the completeness. So this is declared in the synthesis of yoga, that no change can be more radical than the revolution attempted in integral yoga. So the revolution attempted in integral yoga is the most radical revolution. No change can be more radical than the revolution attempted in integral yoga. And in the life divine, it is declared that no limit can be fixed to this revolution, for it is in its nature the invasion of the infinite. In the Sanatana Dharma, the mighty supramental divine presence is hinted as Vijnana, whereas in integral yoga, this mighty divine action is extensively developed, and it further recognizes that all-inclusive supramental energy as accelerator of perfection and divination of human grace. So Sri Aurobindo had long tried to apprehend the true inwardness and glory of the Indian religious and spiritual tradition Sanatana Dharma and accept it in its entirety. He re-explained and restated the whole truth of the Gita, the Vedanta and the Veda in such a way that it can be seen that all religions and spirituality arise out of the eternal religion, Sanatana Dharma, and is one in essential truth everywhere. He identified that the greatest unity of all religions is possible by working out the highest aspect of knowledge, and the mother observed, that unity of all religions is the extreme limit of human aspiration and can be executed by religious relationship of the best souls and the invisible world. So this the mother proposed that the extreme limit of human aspiration, if the all the religion will be united, then that is the extreme limit of human aspiration and can be executed if the best souls of each religion they will unite, then that is possible. Sri Aurobindo sets out in his mission of divine life on earth, which rests on the foundation of the highest and comprehensive truth beyond religion and the largest possible vision hinted in the ancient scriptures. So now we'll come to the religion. What is religion? What is the three affirmative stand of the religion? So if we want to understand religions, all religions are having these three affirmative stand. That is, one is supra-terrestrial, and another is supra-cosmic, and the third is terrestrial. All noble and high religions aims at transfiguration of Son of Man. Into Son of God, and are having three fundamental ways, three essential affirmations of approaching life that can be adopted with regard to our existence. Firstly, the belief in the immortality, the eternal persistence of individual human spirit apart from the body, that is our supra-terrestrial or our otherworldly existence, or an occult link through which all things are ordered, governed, and harmonized in their fundamental relations and process. So beyond this terrestrial, there is psychic being, the spiritual being, and supramental being. They are supra-terrestrial. Secondly, it is in heaven beyond that we must seek our entire divine fulfillment, and their other assertion of kingdom of God or kingdom of the perfect upon earth must be put aside as delusion, or in any way case, the absolute, the Parabrahman, is the origin, the goal of existence, that is the supra-cosmic view of things. So the Supreme Self, this world is made up of mind, life, and body. Then beyond this world is the supra-terrestrial. They are psychic, spiritual, then supramental. And beyond the supra-terrestrial, there is supra-cosmic. That is the Supreme Self, the Turiya state, that is Parabrahman, that is from which all existence is created. Thirdly, an emphasis on the development of the ethical and spiritual being as means of ascension, and therefore the one proper business on this brief life in the world of matter during this temporary stay from birth to death, we have to study the law of becoming and take best advantage of them. So we have to study the law of this matter, material world, and take the best advantage of it. And to realize the dynamism and potentiality in us, that is our cosmic and terrestrial existence. It is practically impossible for man taken as a race to guide his life permanently or wholly by the leading motive of any of these three mental attitudes towards life to the exclusion of other two claims on nature. Thus, one of the above three does not harmonize with the other two, and by this disharmony, humanity is thrown into great perplexity and contradiction, hence subject itself to doubt, division, denial, and leap away from the problem. So the religion has never succeeded in reconciling the terrestrial, the supra-terrestrial, and the supra-cosmic affirmative view of the existence. So religion was never successful. Integral Yoga rejects the above three limiting conclusions of or unsatisfactory solutions that after liberating mind, life, and soul within, one must turn from the unconquerable material principle and from the intractable and unregenerated earth to find elsewhere its divine substance. So this escapist theory is Integral Yoga rejects. Going to Paramdham is solution is Integral Yoga rejects. In Integral Yoga, a fourth fundamental theory is developed, which is integration, synthesis, mutual indwelling, and reconciliation of the above three religious factors, and it is by knowing each in its completeness that the three become one in our total consciousness and total knowledge. So this reconciliation is possible if we discover the supramental. So in the supramental, consciousness has the capacity to reconcile matter and spirit. It has the capacity to reconcile this terrestrial, supracosmic and cosmic and supraterrestrial world. That is possible. It recognizes the other states of matter or an ascending series of divine gradations of substance, and through acceptance of this higher law, the luminous and puissant material transfiguration is possible. In the last category would fall the view of integral spiritual evolution, where supracosmic is accepted as source and support. The supraterrestrial or otherworldly is for a condition and connecting link, and cosmic and terrestrial for the field and circumstance, and with human life and mind for its nodus, turning point and dynamic mold into which divine existence can be poured in for higher and even the highest perfection. So in integral yoga, the supracosmic is identified as our source, and supraterrestrial is identified as connecting link. It will link the supracosmic with terrestrial world. And terrestrial world is the field and circumstance. And if they will be linked, if they are linked, if they are joined, if they are reconciled very strongly, then the life, mind, body, and they will be transformed. They are nodes, turning point and dynamic mode. So life can be dynamized, mind can be divinized, life can be divinized, and this body can be divinized. So that is the highest perfection in life. So now will come how religion is linked with integral yoga. In this sense, the central secret of Buddhist teaching is an entire motionless impersonality of the void calm within, doing the highest works of eternal varieties of love, truth, and universal compassion and sympathy for the whole of humanity. Vasudeva Kutumbakam. This whole earth is one family, and extinction of all suffering through disappearance of ego. This is Buddhist theory. Then the real monism, the true Advaitin, is that which admits all things as the one Brahman, or individual soul is one with the Supreme and does not seek to bisect it. Shankara, standing between the world and eternal reality, saw the supracosmic as the source of existence, but was unable to comprehend by the intellect anirvachaniya. This inability of the region compelled him to declare the unreality of the world, and thus the profound and subtle teaching of asceticism and illusionism are born. Out of the physical and vital nature's impediment to pure spiritual pursuit, and thus it liberates humanity from subjection of the insistent animalism. The gulf created between ordinary human consciousness and divine consciousness led to the crucifixion of Lord Christ. So the Christ was crucified because the ordinary, the human consciousness and divine consciousness, the gulf increased. That's why that led to the crucifixion of Lord Christ. That is taken care in integral yoga. If a sadhaka will do sadhana, then the gulf with ordinary people, ordinary world will increase. And that is a danger for him. So that is why the sadhana is pursued in secrecy, in silence. So always in India, all the mystics, they pursued sadhana in secrecy and silence. The Christian emphasis on love indicates the dynamic side of the universal action. Christ from his cross humanized Europe, purified humanity, and brought for earth the sense of charity, compassion, and fraternity. Buddha, arriving at the threshold of the ineffable nirvana beyond this existence, vowed not to cross the irrevocable line till a single individual soul on earth is left undelivered from the bondage of suffering and ego. This is the Buddha's greatness, that unless all the human beings are liberated, he will remain in this world, in the threshold of ineffable nirvana, beyond this existence. So he will not cross this irrevocable line till the single individual soul on earth is left undelivered. The Gita directs the man of knowledge to preoccupy himself in doing good of all creatures. Sarva Bhuta Hite Rata. Swami Vivekananda, after realizing the absolute, felt the call to serve the God, the oppressed, the miserable, the sufferer in all humanity. So this is called Vivekananda God, that you will be in this earth, you will take birth again and again to serve the oppressed, serve the miserable people, serve the sufferer, you will take birth. Sri Aurobindo felt a similar call through the reversal and universalization of consciousness to extricate the universal incarnation of Godhead concealed in all humanity. So Sri Aurobindo also felt the call that the Sarvatara's task is that the consciousness in which he is established, to same consciousness you will take everybody. That is his task. Until that task is fulfilled, you will be there in the earth. In the subtle world, you will be there and you will accelerate his action. So what is his action? So the supramental, in the supramental consciousness, the whole humanity will be established. Supramental consciousness is the consciousness of the avatar. So in our tradition, in the Sanatana Dharma, it is projected that avatar comes very rarely to earth when there is a transition of consciousness. But here Sri Aurobindo's vision is that humanity, whole of the humanity will possess the consciousness of the avatar. That is called that universal incarnation of Godhead concealed in humanity. In every human being, the God will be revealed, the avatar will be revealed, the divine will be revealed. That is the vision of Sri Aurobindo. So the future Christ who transforms cross of the crucifixion into source of infinite light, joy, power and future Hindu Godhead Kalki with his sword destroying, opposing Asuric forces for which humanity is waiting patiently is foreseen in by Sri Aurobindo not as person but as condition or state of consciousness. So in Hindu vision, the Kalki is the last avatar. In also the Christian vision, there is the Christ, future Christ will return. So these are foreseen in integral yoga, not as person but a condition or state of consciousness to which all humanity can elevate to establish the kingdom of heaven on earth. Any free and all-governing personal Godhead was denied by the Buddha, who declared that all personality is a creation of ignorance and construction of mind and subject to karma. But Buddhism became popular after Buddha was accepted as Buddhist Godhead. The disadvantage of the adoration of personal Godhead in most of the religious schools is that they create an unbridgeable gulf between God and man, Brahman and world, and the possibility of man ascending to the status of God or God and God descending to earth life becomes remote. So this is the disadvantage of religion. So if there is a personal God, then there will be a gulf created between God and man, and that cannot be bridged. The justification of current religious notions about the personal aspect of deity is omnipotence, omniscience and omnipresence, which is a vast consciousness containing all ideas in itself as its own ideas, one vast will containing all energies in itself, in its own energy. The error created by man in his relation with the God elevates an actual and practical differentiation in being, consciousness and force into an essential division. If man has to ascend to the status of God, then he has to go beyond the paralyzing division of mind, where knowledge is not self-divided, force is not self-divided, being is not self-divided, and there will be no ideas that clash with other ideas and no opposition of the will or force with other wills or the force of force. A sadhaka of integral yoga has to realize the integral divine primarily as comprehensive consciousness, vijnana, the force of oneness and order, and harmonious law of guiding truth of the impersonal psychological truth of the divine consciousness, nirguna brahman. And secondarily, as apprehensive consciousness, pragyana, cosmic differentiation, adoration of personal aspect of monotheistic and polytheistic deity, saguna brahman, and infinite multiplicity of ignorant suffering, being unaware of the self. So in integral yoga, one has to learn what is consciousness, and the hierarchy of consciousness is projected as divine. So if one knows the consciousness, movement of consciousness, then one knows the divine partly. And if one will intensify that consciousness, then he can know the divine entirely. If divine will be a person, then there will be a gulf created between the divine and the human being. That gulf will be created and that cannot be breached. So Sri Aurobindo, for Sri Aurobindo, the divine is a consciousness, is a hierarchy of consciousness, and that we have to learn the lesson how to trace that hierarchy of consciousness. So about this religion, we will discuss in the next class. Now we will come to the action. What is the karma yoga? What is the karma yoga of integral yoga? Because these topics are very big topics, so in the next class again we'll reconcile what religion with the action, karma yoga and religion, Sanatana Dharma and karma yoga will reconcile. So now we'll come to this integral karma yoga. The traditional karma yoga, so after finding the divine, it escapes into that world, that supracosmic world. But in integral yoga, that is not accepted. One has to return to the world and do the action, divine action, the universal action he has to do. He has to perfect the life, he has to divinize the life. That is the task of an integral yogi, integral sadhak. But we have to begin from the traditional karma yoga. Integral karma yoga is the extensive extension of the Gita's teachings of traditional karma yoga. Here, the divine Shakti or Paraprakriti is identified as the door of all action. The Gita hints that even when involved in doing wide range of works, a sadhaka does no action at all. Karmanye nabhi prabhartopi naiva kinchit karoti sa. So that is the karma yoga. In karma yoga, a karma yogi will do all type of action, but he will feel that he is doing no action. So he will never be tired. His action will be ceaseless because he will feel that a divine Shakti is doing all the work through him. So you will feel that he while doing all action, you will feel that he is doing no action. For it is not he, but the divine Shakti directed by the approval of the Lord which is at work. He also undertakes no personal initiative of action, sarvarambha parityagi. So the Gita proposes that a sadhaka will not initiate any work because all initiation of work is the outcome of desire. For all initiation of work is the movement of desire and not the command of the divine will. This approach is further extended in integral yoga. So in integral yoga, if any work we want to do, we have to verify that whether it is coming from the divine or our own divine work. If some idea, new idea is coming, so we have to consecrate it. If it is a divine action, then it will become strong. If we consecrate that work, if it is undivine work, then that work will become weak. Like that, we will know that which work we have to do, which work we have to renounce. From that, through consecration, if the work becomes strong, then that is divine will. If work becomes weak, then there is no support of the divine behind that work. This approach is further extended in integral yoga that he must be prepared to change one work, one course, or one field of action for another and abandon all works. One field of action for another and abandon all works if that is the clear command of the master. So in integral yoga, you will not cling to anything. See, you will do that work. If he is an integral karma yogi, then you will do that work which the divine wants. And for that, you will renounce all other works. He does perfect, ceaseless divine action founded upon perfect inner passivity till his last breath. So in ଇଣ୍ଟିଗ୍ରାଲ ଯୋଗ ଏ ଇଣ୍ଟିଗ୍ରାଲ ସାଧକ ୱିଲ୍ ନଟ୍ ରିନାଉନ୍ସ ୱାର୍କ ଏଟ୍ ଏନି ପଏଣ୍ଟ ଇଭିନ୍ ଇଫ୍ ହି ରିଚ୍ ଲାଷ୍ଟ ପସିବୁଲ୍ ଡିଭାଇନ୍ ସେଲ୍ଫ କମ୍ପ୍ଲିଟନେସ୍ ଇଭିନ୍ ହି ରିଚ୍ ଏ ଲାଷ୍ଟ ପସିବୁଲ୍ ଡିଭାଇନ୍ ସେଲ୍ଫ କମ୍ପ୍ଲିଟନେସ୍ ୟୁ ୱିଲ୍ ନଟ୍ ରିନାଉନ୍ସ ୱାର୍କ ଟିଲ୍ ହିଜ୍ ଲାଷ୍ଟ ବ୍ରେଥ୍ ୟୁ ୱିଲ୍ ଡୁ ସିଜ୍ଲେସ୍ ୱାର୍କ ଦେଟ୍ ଇଜ୍ ପ୍ରପୋଜ୍ ଇନ୍ ଇଣ୍ଟିଗ୍ରାଲ ଯୋଗ So here all life is yoga of nature through works. So if we will do karma yoga, then the mantra of all life is yoga is through works. Then all life is yoga through knowledge and all life is yoga through devotion, bhakti. We have to do. So here in karma yoga, we have to follow this mantra. All life is yoga of nature through works. One takes up all life and action and does not despise any work nor shrink from any splendid toil. He becomes only a daily dynamic worship and service of the divine in the unbounded temple of his own vast cosmic existence. And it is through a wide egoless impersonality that he can become a liberated worker and divine creator. In this higher state of consciousness, he does all work without the sense of doership, without the feeling of personal initiation of any action, and no reaction of the lower nature can touch him. Another period in which one draws back and builds a spiritual wall. Around him, admitting through its gate only such activities as consent to undergo a law of spiritual transformation. So all grief, revolt, impatience, trouble are identified as a violence committed against the master of the existence. The master of our works respects our nature even when he is transforming it. He works always through the nature and not by any arbitrary and abstract whim. This imperfect nature of ours contains the material of our perfection, but undeveloped, distorted, misplaced, thrown together in disorder, or a poor, imperfect order. All this material has to be patiently gathered, harmonized, reorganized, purified, perfected, new molded, and transformed, not hacked and hewn and slain or mutilated, not obliterated by simple coercion and denial. Then, a third in which free and all embracing action, but with new forms fit for the utter truth of the spirit. All work is done by the power, by Shakti, and since the integral yoga does not contemplate abandonment of works, does not shrink from difficulties of life, but rather a doing of all works and acceptance to resolve all problems from divine consciousness and with supreme guidance of the divine will and knowledge. The characteristics power of the instruments, mind, life, and body must not only be purified of defects, but rest to a great capacity for this divine action. All works are doing all action, Sarvakrut, by liberated knower who lives and acts in the world only with true knowledge and greater conscient power without any binding necessity and compelling ignorance. By so doing, he attains supreme unity, supreme consciousness, and highest knowledge. Action can neither bind the liberated man nor can it bind or limit the eternal, but it binds and limits the surface constructed personality. The law of divine action is at last unity, embracing and possessing the multiplicity and no longer the ordinary action of multiplicity struggling towards some figure of unity. A divine action can take shape spontaneously, freely, infallibly from the light and force of our psychic and spiritual self in union with supramental self. These interfusions and complete divine union are identified as the last state of integral yoga of works. If our psychic being is united with this supramental self, then our spiritual being is united with the supramental self, then that is identified as complete union. And that complete union is the last state of the integral yoga of works. So through integral yoga of works, one can arrive at the supramental state where the world self and divine are reconciled. So this also I have to leave for the next class because Because here, what is the difference between traditional karma yoga and what is the speciality of integral karma yoga that we have studied? Then what is the speciality of integral karma yoga? In traditional, what is the in tradition? If one will do exclusive karma yoga, then one will realize the cosmic consciousness. That is the in the Bhagavad Gita it is there that one will attain the Vasudeva Sarvamiti consciousness. If one will reconcile karma yoga with jnana yoga, then you will arrive at Purushottama consciousness. Same here also in integral karma yoga also. So in integral karma yoga you will arrive at supramental. When you will reconcile these other two yogas, you will arrive at supramental state. So I have identified the 18 points in integral for a integral karma yogi. He has to remember 18 points and how, and in 18 way he has to link this his integral karma yoga with the traditional karma yoga. He has to link it. So this will concentrate in the next class. So in the next class also we'll discuss what is the religion, how religion is linked with integral yoga. All the religions, all the truths of all the religions are taken into account in the integral yoga, and all the traditional karma yoga, how they are linked with integral karma yoga, and how action is related with religion, how dharma is related with karma. That also we'll reconcile in the next class. ॐ तत्सत्